Well, to keep me from ever getting to a big head, sorry, that might be not a term that we use in English, but we used it, that was a term that we used in Papua New Guinea. It means that get proud or arrogant. And so when I was in Papua New Guinea, we would use that term that somebody's a big head and become a big head through or something like that. And so God gave me a granddaughter just to help me in that area. And so she was talking with her mother, and this is what she was sharing with her mother. You know, one of the worst things about church, and her mother asked, well, what is the worst thing about church? And it came down to Papa preaching. Because when he starts preaching, the singer stops singing, and I like the singing. So I just know that the importance of our singers, thank you for having your part in this ministry, and I will continue to know where my place is, and that I will not seek to limit our singers that have an opportunity. So, no, we're thankful for them and that. I've titled my message this Sunday, I Am the Door, I Am the Good Shepherd. And it's two of the I Am statements from the same chapter, John chapter 10. See, and when God, Jesus says, I am the door. And doors are a universal part of cultures around the world. You can go into different aspects of the world or different places in the world and you find doors are in use. Yes, they look different. Yes, their purpose is different. But you can go around the world and you find different doors. And so you can go from the jungles of Papua New Guinea to the streets of London, England, and you will see doors in operation. You'll have doors leading into different structures, and they come in all shapes, sizes, and looks. Some are made for keeping heat out, some are made for keeping heat in, some are to protect the valuables within, and some keep undesirables out and others in. And so we have multiple purposes for different doors. For some, you need to push the door to enter, and others, you need to pull it to enter. And it gets really embarrassing when you mistake one for the other. And maybe that has been one of your stories as well, as one of my stories. Then you come to the revolving doors, which demands a little more concentration to coordinate with someone going in the opposite direction. And so you're all the time trying to do the two-step to try and get the coordination exactly right. So whether a door is locked or unlocked speaks how inviting a location is. Usually a store with a locked door indicates that it is closed unless they have forgotten to lock the door and you walk in, assuming the business is open, and hear the alarm go off. And maybe you've had one of those stories in your life as I had in my life. So each of us has different stories when it comes to doorways. And John shares with us an allegory of a sheepfold in John chapter 10, as well as two bold I am statements in this as well. And so I want to turn to the book of John chapter 10, and let's read together the first 21 verses. So if you have John chapter 10 open, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? So Jesus' words in response here had two different messages before the people, or two different directions the people went. The audience that Jesus is speaking with in chapter 10 is a carryover from chapter 9. We know that in the original creation of the canon of Scripture, there was not chapter breaks. And there is no break between these two chapters, between chapter 9 and chapter 10. And so the people that Jesus was communicating with in chapter 9 are continuing to listen to him here in chapter 10. And so verse 40 of chapter 9 speaks that he is in conversation with the Pharisees. And there is no bridge between these two chapters in the Word of God. There are two types of sheepfolds that we see here mentioned in the Bible. Verses 1 to 6 mentions a sheepfold found in a town or a community. And verses 7 through 10 is referencing a sheepfold out in the pasture land. And so when you look at this passage, you have to reference that there's two different sheepfolds that are mentioned in this passage. The sheepfold in the town would have a door attached and have a doorkeeper. The shepherds of the town would bring their sheep in the evening, and they would all combine their flocks together, and they would put them in the responsibility of a doorkeeper. And that doorkeeper would have the responsibility of looking after them through the night. The doorkeeper knew the sheep, the shepherds, and would make sure that only they would be able to lead the sheep out. And so there was a degree of protection, but it was also a degree of relief for these shepherds who sought to look after their sheep throughout the day. And it would be an exhausting task before them. Jesus refers to himself as a shepherd, as we see later in this passage. And so those who enters by the door, unlike the robbers and thieves who try to enter in another way. And so he's making direct reference to the Pharisees here. And it's almost like he's expressing to them, yes, they are thieves and they are robbers. And so if you were to look into Ezekiel chapter 34, you would see there a clear description of the two different camps of people. Those who are the false shepherds and the one who is the true shepherd. And Ezekiel 34 lays that out very clearly for us. He calls his sheep by name and he leads them out of his sheepfold. Not all the sheep of his fold respond to his voice, but only those which know his voice. And they are the ones that respond, and he carries them out. And so here it's an interesting, you are known, because we see that the shepherd of the sheep here calling them out, he calls them by name. And so even in those days in their flocks, they would have known and would have given names to different individuals. Just like you give names to your pets, maybe the shepherd would have given names to their sheep as well. And when the shepherd of the sheep here comes and calls his flock out, he calls them by name. They're not just, he just doesn't say, hey, get up, let's go. No, he says, this person, this person, this person. He calls them all out individually, and he leads them out. And so this morning, you are known if you're a child of God. Often it gets, we lose focus on the fact that when we look at the community of Christ, those who are Christ followers, we wonder sometimes, how well does our shepherd know who I am? And we can look at this passage and we can say, I am known by name. In fact, we see other passages where he says he even knows the very hairs on our head. We are known, and we are known that well. He leads them out, and he does not speak of leading them out or leading them back in again. Those who have responded in faith and repentance and have become his sheep know his voice, and they respond when he calls them out. And so what he's seeking to picture here, he's seeking that Jesus has come to the family of Israel, the people of Israel, and those who have responded to his gospel, to his word. He leads them out of Judaism. And so this fold could be a picture of Judaism. And not everyone in this fold knows God's voice. Not everyone in this fold listens to his voice. And so Jesus in verse 16 speaks of others who are not of this fold. And his desire is to bring them as well together, that there might be one flock, one shepherd together. And so here he is as a picture of leading those of the Jewish people who have come to faith and repentance. And he seeks to lead them out. And he seeks to combine those of the Gentiles here in verse 16 of chapter 10, that there might be one flock, that we might be unified together, made up of different ethnicities, different backgrounds, different people. God's heart is for his flock. John 17, verse 12 says, "While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled." So all that the ones that the Father has given to Jesus, he has kept them, he has guarded them. And one of the blessings of our Heavenly Father is that he has guarded us and he is guarding us. The sheepfold was susceptible to those who sought to get to the sheep without going through the door. And they were false shepherds who sought sheep by stealing and fleecing. Yes, those thieves knew that the sheep understood the voice of their shepherd. And so the practice often was they would sneak over the wall, they would go in and grab a sheep, slit its throat, and throw it over the wall, and there they would have its wool, and they would have it for meat as well. And what he is seeking to describe there in his audience is that those who have come before are only thieves and robbers. You Pharisees, who are supposedly leaders of the church, you are a thief and you are a robber. They had them among them in their day as well. And so if you were to look back into chapter 9, you would see there the healing of the blind person. And the response of the religious leaders, of the Pharisees, was to complain about Jesus healing him on the Sabbath day. And so they called this blind man in and wanted to know the story. And what they did is they also made a law in acknowledging, if anyone acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, he was to be put out of the temple. And so if you read the story and as you walk through that story, you would see that this blind man was thrown out of the temple as well. These religious leaders were not concerned, did not care necessarily that he was healed. All they cared about is that Jesus stepped out of their religious traditions and their religious laws, and he had healed on the Sabbath. But this blind man comes to Jesus, and in verse 38 he says, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. He became a true follower of the Lord. Those who are true followers of Jesus know his voice. And a stranger, they will not follow, but they will flee. The way you get to know a voice is spending time listening and fellowshipping with him. And so as we grow in our relationship with our Lord, as we come to faith and repentance, we get to know who the voice of our Lord is. And then we follow as well. And so the question we need to ask ourselves is, do you know the voice of our Lord? As you spend time with him, as you grow in your relationship with him, have you grown to know and recognize his voice? That if he were to call, we would be able to respond, "Lord, I know that's you, and I will seek and I will follow." Then the other aspect of this, of a true sheep, is that he follows as well. We're called out. And then what he does is he goes ahead and he leads us. Our Lord doesn't drive the sheep. He leads the sheep. And if we are a true follower, then our heart's desire should be that we will follow where he leads and where he takes us. Verse 7 begins the referencing the second sheepfold that was found in the field, and Jesus stating that he is the door of the sheep fold. This sheepfold would be a pen made up of rocks or resources out in the countryside. And they would make an encircled closure with one door in, and it would be a narrow door. Because one of the purposes and one of the jobs of the shepherd was to check over the sheep. And so they would have a narrow door the sheep would have to go through, and he would put his staff down, and he would inspect the sheep as they went in to see if they had any sores or anything that needed to be corrected. The care of the shepherd in going into this sheepfold. The shepherd would usually lie across the door or the entrance, making sure that none of the sheep would wander out and that no predator would enter in. He was a protectant to these sheep, and the sheep came to understand the care of the shepherd. Firstly, we find that this door is an open door, because if you were to look into verse 9 here of chapter 10, you would see that if anyone is the words that he uses. if anyone were enters, and let me get to verse 9 here. I am the door, if anyone enters through me. And so he uses that specifically, if anyone. It's open to any sheep who will come lawfully and be willing to enter through the door, who is Jesus Christ. And so this morning, the invitation is open to you as well, that if you have not come in faith and repentance, then the door is still open for you, that you can come, and you can come if you come through the door, which is Jesus Christ. The invitation is open 24/7 yet. And so during this day, that even today, the door is open. But then secondly, it's also a closed door. It is a door that keeps out all those who would seek to harm the sheep, because the ministry of the shepherd is to guard the sheep. And so when they're out in the pastures and he's guarding them at night and they're in the fold, he is a guard before them. And so he makes sure that no predators gets into the sheep. We know that the thieves come only to steal, kill, and destroy. Our Lord protects those that are his. The sheep have no homing instinct as other animals do. They are incapable of finding their way to their sheepfold even when it is in plain sight. And thus the necessity of having a shepherd who seeks to lead his flock. And our Heavenly Father takes us out and he brings us back and he protects his sheep. By nature, sheep are followers. If one sheep enjoys bad hay, the rest of the sheep will fight them for it, even though there may be good hay available. And so they seek to follow one another. And sheep do fear moving water, and they will not drink from any stream that is moving. And so thus, as you come to Psalm 23, and he says he brings us to the still waters, thus the purpose of that sheep will only drink from still water. Because Jesus is the door of his sheepfold, he guards the sheep. And in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he refers that he loses none. I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled, as you were to turn to verse 12 of chapter 17 there. We need to understand, we need to come to that place in our lives where we understand that who we belong to, that our Heavenly Father is guarding and he guards his own. The protection that we have, the assurance that we have and can have, that we are his sheep, we are protected by him. And for anything to happen, God would have to stop being God for that to take place. There is some among us and some out there who have trouble with the security of the believer. And here in this passage, we need to come to that place in our own lives where we settle this once and for all. I am protected by him. Our Heavenly Father loses none of all that the Father has given to him. And all that come through the doorway are his and are saved, as we see here in this passage as well. The shepherd would lie across the door at night, and all those who would enter in have to go through him, and all predators would have to do the same as well. And then thirdly, it is the only door. Jesus is not a door, but is the door. If anyone would enter his sheepfold, it is through me. And any other person that enters is only a thief and a robber. The Lord knows those who are his. He calls them by name. And those who are his know his voice, and they follow him. There are many voices speaking in our day that you just must be dedicated to the direction that you're heading in, and that will get you to heaven. All you have to do is just have a level of dedication to whatever position you have. This is called pluralism, and that is affluent amongst us today. This is not what the Word of God teaches us, and it's not what this passage is teaching as well. It makes light of the necessity of the death of our Lord on the cross for our sins. The only way into the sheepfold is to enter in through the door. Most of the opposition to the gospel comes when you share this truth. They say, how can you be that exclusive in your position? Well, this is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. And this good shepherd laid down his life for the flock, the necessity of him doing that for us. Verse 9 also continues, and it shares the privileges of those who enter by the door. The first privilege we see there is that he is saved. It says, if anyone enters through me, he will be saved. It's a bold and a direct statement for us. If you enter through the door, you are saved. That is your position once, forever, and altogether. The term to be saved and to have life are used together, as we see them as well used in John 3:16 and 17. The life that he's talking about is eternal life. And so if you have come through that door and you have come to that place of repentance and faith, then you are saved. There is no question about that, and that you have life and you have life in him. It is a pardoned life, delivered from the penalty, the power, and ultimately the presence of sin one day when we are in his presence. And so no longer does sin have victory over us. It is a prosperous life, as we see in John 10:10. It is a new life that is filled with the potential for the redeemed person to live a holy life and for them to enjoy the power, presence, and the peace of God as well. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That is what God's desire for us, that we might be able to walk in the abundant life that he desires to give. And this abundant life is not talking about more materialism, more material possessions. He's talking that we might enjoy all that God desires to give us, that we might be able to experience his power in the degree and to the level that he has already given to us, if we might seek to walk in with him. It is a perpetual life. It is an everlasting life which begins now and goes throughout eternity. And even now, as he shares later in this chapter in verses 28 and 29, let me just read those verses for you. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. We are held by our Lord, and we are held by our Father as well. And so it is a preserved life. He will bring us to that, bring us to a glory one day. The language that Jesus uses removes any question to the truth of the fact that those who enter through Jesus the door will be saved and have life. The second promise of those who have entered through Jesus is that they will go in and they will go out. The fold of Christ is not a prison. It does not shut the sheep in forcefully. Those who belong in it can pass and repass at their pleasure, seeking pasture everywhere in the exercise of Christian liberty. We know that we have a Heavenly Father who leads us, and he leads us out. And so whether we're going out, he leads us. And whether we're bringing back to the fold, he continues and is continually there leading us. We have the privilege, we have the joy of being able to go in and out. You can go in for fellowship, instruction, engagement, and go out for service. This is the picture of the life we are to live as God's children within daily salvation, entering in by our Lord, who is the door, not once for all, but every day for everything. Is that true of your life? That we understand that we can go in and we can go out. If we go out, we go out in his empowering grace that he gives to us. And we come back in. We come back in for instruction. Do we do that? Do we seek to do that in our lives? We are apt to have the idea that salvation is a kind of a watertight compartment. And yes, it's watertight in the sense that who we belong to. But we have the privilege. And here he says, one of our privileges is that we will go in and we will go out of that sheepfold. This is not, maybe your image is the image of a monastery. And so we were apt to have the idea that salvation is a kind of compartment. It's like a bondage. And that's not God's image for us here. Our Lord's conception, he says, we shall go in and out. As we entered in by the door for our daily work or only during our worships, or do we only do it during our worship services? So is it a practice of our life that we go in and we go out? Lord's picture of the freedom of a son. A servant cannot go in and out as he likes. But Jesus says, henceforth, I call you not servants, but I have called you friends. Nothing is closed to you once you enter in by the door. Thus, what he's seeking to describe is the freedom that we have as his children. The joy that we have as his children. We can go in and we can go out. And it's also a picture of the Lord's protecting and his securing. Psalm 121 verse 8 says, the Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. And so our Lord is in the midst of us. He's guarding us, whether we're going in or whether we are going out. The third promise that Jesus mentions here is that he will find pasture. We will have nourishment in abundance. Our spiritual food is found through Christ and in Christ and around Christ. He is the one who pastures his flock among the lilies, as we read in Song of Solomon 2:16. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock, Isaiah 40 and verse 11. And so one of the purposes of the shepherd, one of the ministries of the shepherd is that he would take his flock to where there's good food, a good pasture land for them. And he leads us. If we simply come before him, God, let me enjoy you. Let me dwell in your presence. And God takes us to that pasture land that we might enjoy. The shepherd's joy is leading his flock out to the green pastures beyond the quiet waters. The second I am statement is that I am the good shepherd. Jesus, as the one and only good shepherd, contrasts himself very sharply with all those who came before him. In Jesus' day, shepherds were despised. So imagine the reaction of the Pharisees when he referred to himself as a lowly shepherd. He continues to speak to the scribes, Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and that a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd pours out his soul unto death. And here, our good shepherd went to the cross for us, because it was necessary that he go to the cross if we were going to be able to have salvation, if we are going to be able to have the freedom to be able to go in and out. And so our Savior went to the cross for us. He died for us. And he lays down his life for the benefit of the sheep. And the only way he could benefit the sheep is by saving them from everlasting destruction and imparting everlasting life to them. And so here he pictures the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And our Lord did that for us. We have a shepherd who knows the sheep in like manner as the Father and the Son know each other. Can you just imagine the relationship that the Father and Son have with one another? And here he seeks to present the image for us that as the Father and Son know each other, in that he says, I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me, even, which is a comparison here, as the Father knows me and I know the Father. That is the knowledge that our Lord has about you. Does that marvel? Do you marvel in that? God knows me, not only knows my name, he knows everything about me. His love for the sheep is demonstrated in being the door as well as our shepherd. He not only has made provision for our security, but also his presence in leading and caring for us as a shepherd. Jesus being the door demands a response from us. Will we enter the door? Or will we continue to remain outside, separated from the shepherd and his flock? The Lord knows those who are his. Those who are his know him because they know his voice. And when he calls, they follow. Have you heard God's voice leading you? Wherever he's leading, do you follow? Are we people of God? I belong to you. I'm an open book. Before you, you got the opportunity to lead me, to direct me, because I desire to follow. If anyone includes you, the Lord knows those who are his, and those who are his know his voice, and they follow him. His desire for us is that we will not only have life, but that we would have it abundantly. Trust that you've come to an understanding as we've read this passage. That when he says, I am the door and I am the good shepherd, those are truths of our Heavenly Father. That is who has indwelt us. That is who is in leading us. And so we can walk securely in his presence, knowing that he has the door. And I can leave that with him. And then he is my shepherd. He knows what I need. And his desire is to meet those needs. May that be an encouragement to us this morning. Let's just close this time in a word of prayer. Remembering that we have a time of fellowship after the service, and we trust if you're able, please stay. So let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for your in gifting, your leading. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are the door and you are the good shepherd. And that, Heavenly Father, your care for me goes beyond my understanding. And your heart is that I might become more reflective of who you are. And so your desire, your work in my life, thank you for that. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity we have to fellowship together. Just pray that you might bless our time together, that you might bless this food as well, for praying it in your name. Amen. God bless. We look forward to fellowshipping together here.